Okay, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and on the line we have our second interview for the program, Absara Santarantham, if I've got her last name correctly.
Hi, Jacob.
So just to give a bit of an introduction to Absara first before I ask the kind of first question. Absara has been heavily involved in the refugee rights campaign, especially around the campaign to free the imprisoned refugees. There's at least 12 refugees who are still currently kind of imprisoned in the Park Hotel. But also, Absara has also been doing a lot of campaigning around building local council support for these refugees, especially in the Melbourne City Council, but also has been raising the kind of issue of the because a number of refugees have been freed from the Park Hotel. Absara has also been campaigning, I guess, on the issue of what is the government doing around supporting these refugees, and she has been organising kind of daily or weekly kind of protests outside the Premier's office, basically making the kind of demands around supporting these refugees from, like, say, giving them basic goods and support, etc. So, yeah, good morning, Absara.
Hi, Jacob. How are you?
Yeah, so I guess I want to sort of hear from you, maybe just to put everything, I guess, in context. What, I guess, is the current kind of situation for the refugees who have both been kind of recently released and who are currently kind of imprisoned in the Park Hotel?
So I'll start off with the refugees who have recently been released and then go back and talk about the people who are locked in the Park Hotel. So there was 63 people who were released in late January, and of the people that were released, what they were given was $307 and between 3 weeks paid accommodation by the federal government, and literally thrown out fence themselves. These recently released refugees do not have access to a seeker. They don't have any access to training. So, you cannot go and do a certificate or diploma. You can do that might be very much job specific. So, for example, you can do a white card if you are going to work in construction, but you won't be able to access any other qualifications that might be required, for example, to drive a forklift or things like that. Also, the refugees have been released on a 6-month visa that they have to renew because they're on what is called the final departure bridging visa, so which again means that their life is incredibly precarious because they need to make sure that they are able to do the right thing so that they can renew their visa. So there's always something hanging over their head. In relation to the 13 men that are still locked in the Park Hotel, and then there's also about 22 in Mita. There's no news about what's happening to them. They continue to be locked arbitrarily and indefinitely, and of course that is creating a huge issue for a lot of the people because it's a sense of why is it that a certain group of people got released whilst they're still locked there. No one knows the reasons why the 63 men people were released into the community and why the 32 people are still locked in detention.
And what can you tell us? You've been very involved in trying to kind of put pressure, I guess, on the Melbourne City Council because the Park Hotel resides in the electorate that the Melbourne City Council has certain jurisdiction over. And they had kind of recently passed a very kind of watered down motion on supporting kind of these refugees who are currently imprisoned in the Park Hotel. And I guess, what can you, I guess, tell us about what the Melbourne City Council voted on and what has the grassroots response been to it?
So I also want to contrast Melbourne City Council's actions with that of a previous council that the APOD or the hotel that the men were living in was in. So the first council was Darabin and the second is Melbourne City Council, as you just said. In Darebin, the response by the councillors was in stark contrast to the City of Melbourne. Councillors passed a motion in support of the men, and so therefore councillors were able to advocate on the behalf of the men and condemn the federal government for setting up an alternative place of detention in the council. So I want to be very clear. Councils cannot remove or cannot forcibly remove the an alternative place of detention that a government, the federal government, has chosen, but they can condemn it. So they can condemn the setup of the APOD, and they can also condemn the gross human rights violation that is occurring in their council. What Melbourne City Council opted to do was, rather than taking similar measures as the Darebin Council did, was to win a motion, and really what they want to do is they want to advocate for the provision of medical and mental health services to the men that are still locked in the hotel. And rather than advocating for the men, they want to seek an explanation for the continued detention of these men in the hotel and find out more about their cases. That doesn't go far enough, as the city council, that is supposed to be a refugee welcome zone, they need to be taking much strong stances to be standing up for what is, and there's no debate about this, the gross violation of the human rights of these men.
And in terms of like the Melbourne kind of city kind of council kind of response, what has, I guess, just wanted to find out is there any sort of grassroots response in terms of actually trying to push the Melbourne City Council to have a better position, or can actually reviewing the fact that they took such a terrible position?
Yes, so we've actually created a pro forma email, and which I can share with you. And the pro forma email is condemning the motion, condemning the fact that a number of the councillors were unwilling to take a leadership position. Because I do want to be clear that five voted for the stronger original motion, six voted against. So it's condemning the six who voted against, but also recognising that whilst the new motion is a watered-down version of the original, it does actually require the City Council to take some action. So we are actually in the email asking the City Council to state what actions they have taken in relation to two of the subsections of the motions, which is 1.3 and 1.4, because, yes, it's great to pass that motion, but now we also need to see the action that the council is taking. So I would love it if your listeners are able to get the pro forma email. Of course, they can amend it if they want to, but to send the email, and we've provided all the email addresses as well of all the councillors, to find out from them what actions the council is actually taking.
Yeah. So just for our listeners' information, UpSorry has provided me kind of that information. So it will be posted on the Green Left Radio kind of Facebook page. And then, of course, we'll try and post it on any other kind of platforms, including passing it on to 3CR and so on. So I guess the kind of next kind of question I want to go into, UpSorry, is you've been organising, I guess, weekly protests outside Daniel kind of Andrews' sort of office in Treasury kind of gardens, and especially around the kind of issue of supporting the recently kind of released Medirac refugees who are imprisoned in the Park Hotel in Mitre. What can you tell us about, these protests, what do you think that the state government should be doing, and what are you demanding that the state government should be doing in response to these recently released refugees in terms of giving them support within the community?
Recognising again, just like the local government, state government cannot intervene in the setup of an APOD, but can actually speak up against the human rights violations of these people. And remembering that Victoria is one of the states and territories that has actually signed on to the Human Rights Charter, which, if you actually read the charter, it says the charter needs to reflect the fundamental values of freedom, equality, respect and dignity, a right I don't think that has been afforded to the people locked in immigration detention here in Victoria. And what we aren't really talking about as well, and I'd like to draw your attention to, is that in the state of Victoria, there's about 6,000 refugees living in our community who are on very similar punitive visas as the ones that the recently released refugees are on, which is the final departure bridging visa. And these people have been living on these visas for years now. So in some cases, you know, for half a decade. So where Dan Andrews can obviously play a role is that the state government, for example, is has the jurisdiction for building public housing, something that they have not been doing for a couple of decades now. So definitely secure housing is one area that refugees can and should be able to access. The other thing is things like public transport. Public transport is, again, a state jurisdiction. Knowing that these people are living on the breadline, providing them with access to free public transport will be something that would also help them in a major way. And it's actually really important for ensuring that they can actually live dignified lives in our state, because very soon the moratorium on rent is going to be removed. And what this is going to mean for a lot of refugees who literally do not have access to job seekers, and those refugees who have been living in our communities for half a decade, for example, don't even have access to JobKeeper if they had a job and lost that job, is that they are going to put themselves on the streets as well. So remembering that the state government does have certain jurisdictions that they can actually operate within. Whilst they cannot do everything, we really require the federal government to not abdicate its responsibility. State governments can step in when there's a void.
Well, thanks. Zane had just a quick question.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I saw you at the speak out at the trial of Chris Breen. And I was just wondering if you could comment on the way in which the lockdown and COVID measures and special laws have been used arguably inappropriately to try and stifle and stop refugee campaigns over the last 12 months or so.
Definitely, I agree with you. COVID laws have been used arbitrarily by the police in order to quell any kind of protest. I mean, we know that, of course, what's happening with Chris, which was from April last year, is a real travesty, because the fact is that since then, many of the people who apparently broke COVID restrictions and had fines, that they had a fine amnesty and those fines were lifted. But it's really convenient how Victoria Police chose not to lift the fines for Chris and a number of other refugee protesters. You know, in the last couple of months where there's been a lot more active refugee actions, there's been a lot of pressure as well from Victoria Police of activists and organisers. I know for sure for myself, when we organised actions outside Dan Andrews' office, we were there. Victoria Police used City of Melbourne officials to issue us with a notice to comply. When we were protesting outside the Australian Open tennis, police were giving us directions to move, which was effectively saying that we could not stand outside the Australian Open on a public space and hand out leaflets. and this happened for a whole week, where we literally were playing a cat and mouse game with the police, who were trying to push us off a public land there. And I know that
even as thousands of people stream in to watch the tennis.
That's correct. even though there were thousands of people coming in to watch the tennis, the police were not willing to have us stand there. So literally, we had to get legal advice about our right to stand there and protest and hand out leaflets. And only when we did receive that legal advice did the police back off on that. And I heard that in the protest last Saturday, police were enforcing a 20-person bubble. So, like, literally when the protest organisers were marching from State Library to the Park Hotel, they had to break into groups of 20 and march down to the Park Hotel. So, again, all of this is being done quite deliberately. Of course, the COVID is an issue, and I completely agree that we need to be careful, but it's really interesting how it's being arbitrarily used on people who are protesting in relation to refugee issues. And it's interesting to see what happens at the rally this Friday that's coming, because it's on the same weekend as Moomba, and I know Moomba has been given the green light, so it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, Victoria Police again in an arbitrary manner in relation to this upcoming protest.
I mean, the interesting thing about the Moomba kind of festival is it's always been the kind of subject of kind of very kind of racialised kind of policing by the Victorian police. And, of course, there's the whole Herald Sun sort of scare campaign that always goes on every time the Moomba kind of festival happens, about so-called African gangs, etc., which is obviously all racist. And I guess the next... But that's actually a side point. The next kind of point I wanted to kind of get into, you just mentioned, I guess, the March 5th kind of National Day of Action. And, you're part of organising and initiating with various sort of groups and individuals, especially with working with the people who have been organising the daily protests every day outside the Park Hotel. What can you, I guess, tell us about this upcoming protests?
Yes, I'm actually not playing a very big role in the organising itself, but I'm just helping out with leafleting and things like that. But I do know a little bit about the protest. So the action is a national action. So we're calling on, during the weekend, action around all cities where there are hubs or immigration detention centres, onshore immigration detention centres. And it's we're getting speakers either currently detained in our refugee immigration detention system, or ex-detainees, to talk about the experiences of being locked up, but also talk a little bit about their experiences of being out. And we will be recording a speech from Baroos Bashani, and we'll be able to play that at every single one of the rallies across the country.
And what can you, I guess, tell us the details for this protest, and especially like in terms of like when it's happening and when?
Yes, so it's going to be on the 5th of March, this Friday that's coming, and it'll be at 6 p.m. outside the State Library of Victoria, and then after a couple of speeches, they will. The organisers are intending to march to the Park Hotel.
Well, thanks for that. I'm sorry. I guess now we'll go conclude this interview. Do you have any, final comments to make? And also maybe talk about, are there any... What are some of the ways that we can support, because you've been involved in so much different aspects of campaign for refugees?
Yes.
Can you tell also what can people kind of do in terms of supporting the refugees, especially in terms of the protest, et cetera?
So I think, obviously coming to protest is very important, and going to the Park Hotel is really important. But I also know capacity is an issue for lots of people. So I've shared with you already, and I hope your listeners will be able to get that information as well, is, you know, emailing the City Council, emailing or Dan Andrews' office, emailing. We've also created a pro forma email for that you can send to LNP MPs and senators. And we've got contact phone numbers as well, because you can call them too. And other things you can also do, of course, is donations. I mean, as you can see here, there are 6,000 people living in the community that are struggling. A lot of them will need money. Our governments are not providing the support that they need. And the other things that you can do is all these sign petitions and deliver leaflets and pamphlets in people's houses as well, which provide them with information about things that they can do. So we've created a really simple flyer with information on the front, a checklist on the back, and even a QR code that can take you to a whole range of documents that you can actually use. And one final thing is, if you're in a union, we've also created a motion, a sample motion, a motion that was passed through the NTU. So two unions have now actually endorsed the refugee advocacy work, and that is the NTU and AU, but we need more unions to come on board as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Absari. And, yeah, just for our listeners' information, the next major refugee kind of protest is going to be on March 5th, 6 p.m. at the State Library. And also, just to note, shortly after this program has been aired, I will be posting the kind of material that Absari has provided in terms of the Melbourne City Council stuff.
Thank you so much to both of you.
Cheers, Absari. Keep up the good work, comrade.
Definitely. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Absari.
Bye-bye.
Bye.